Welcome, my friends, to another edition, a recording of Freedom Law School's weekly Freedom Hour. This is Peyman Motahedeh, the president of Freedom Law School, which I found in 1996. Tonight, I'm going to cover a topic that comes up here and there. And it's a lot of confusion out there in the freedom community about the 16th Amendment. And some people think that the government says it was the income tax was imposed on American people because of the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution allowed it to exist. A lot of other patriots say that it's a income tax is a indirect tax, and that the Constitution provides for, and they stop at that. And the problem is that the income tax acts directly on you. How can a tax that's directly on you be an indirect tax? Right? So I'm going to clarify this confusion out there that exists. Although many of you know that 16th Amendment was not even ratified, and that's true, but that's not relevant either right now at this point, because we're going to solve the riddle of how tax was imposed on the American people despite the 16th Amendment claim. And as usual, at the end of the Freedom Hour, I'll be answering your individual questions about any freedom question that you may have on this or other freedom topics. At the same time, I have my volunteers who are responding to your questions also live. But you're welcome to call as well, and we'll put the numbers on the screen for you. So with that, let's go to start a recording in a few seconds, guys. Yes, I got that. All right, let's do it.
All right, we'll begin the recording in 3, 2, 1.
How did the modern federal income tax get imposed on the American people despite the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? That is the topic I'll be answering for you tonight in a definitive, clear way by relying on what the Constitution says and what the Supreme Court has said about all of this. So, my name is Peyman Motahedeh. I am the president of Freedom Law School, which I found in 1996. And I've covered first half of this topic previously. If you go to our website at livefreenow.org, you see you find a lot of information there. But last week, you see actually a few weeks ago, I covered on April 17th, 2021, did the 16th Amendment in 1913 permit the creation of the U.S. income tax system. That's the 6-minute version of this video, which also links to a longer version of this video that you see right here. The full complete presentation, which in this one is 29 minutes long. So you want to watch this presentation first if you can, because that will cover a lot of basic stuff, which I don't have the time to get into, and I don't need to get into it. Watch that presentation first, and this one will complete that. I will review a few things anyhow, just to make sure you are all clear about this. So let's go to this topic. We're going to go to U.S. Constitution, folks, right here at constitution.congress.gov, the official source, the Constitution of the United States, as you see here, okay? We're going to go down here to Article 1, Section 8. Okay? Then now here, it does say that Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes. Right? It does. Duties, imposts, and excises. But heed what it says. But this Constitution says that but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Well, duties, imports, and excises are basically like tax on imports or tax on items like sugar or alcohol. Whether you bring items from China through Miami, Port, New York, or Los Angeles, same rate applies. Whiskey tax will be same throughout the United States. That's basically what that means. Now, there's more limitations about taxation in the U.S. Constitution. Article 1, Section 9, we're going to go down, and it says this, that no capitation. Cap, folks, means capitation means head tax. Like decapitate, take your head off. Cap means head. So it means no head tax is what it's referring to. No capitation or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration here before directed to be taken. Folks, that is one of the primary reasons why we have a census or counting or enumeration of the people of America, so that the tax could be laid in proportion to the population of each state and laid in that state. As you see on the video, which I covered this issue, you see right here, the first direct tax you see here on this screen, which I covered in the last video, in 1798, it shows among the states you see on the screen how much was laid individually on the people of each of those states. It was apportioned or divided up among the people of those states, as you see in this screen. Okay? So with that, folks, I'm going to go now to the next part, which is the Constitution also in Article 1, Section 2 says this, that representative and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers. Again, the word apportionment, okay, is key. It means to divide up, to portion, like you divide up and portion up a piece of cake. That's all it means, divide up, is what apportionment means. And you will see that word again, okay? So that's why, again, when you look at the screen, folks, again, you see in this past last video, you see how New Hampshire, Massachusetts, these states, and it lists more of them in this act. The direct taxes of 1790 was divided up a portion among the states. That's how direct taxes are supposed to be done, divided up among the states. Now, let's go now to the next thing now. Okay, here we go. Let's go to read the 16th Amendment. The 16th Amendment was supposed to allow, right, taxes on Americans without apportionment, because that's what it sounds like. See, the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states. You see? Without apportionment. Now, the part about taxes on and collect taxes on income, don't worry about that right now, that part. I know to some people that is important, but really the key part is not as much as that is here, is that without apportionment among the several states. How the taxes are imposed, income tax on Americans without apportionment, I will show you in this presentation. Hang in there, my friends. By the way, notice here that there's no place here that gives Congress any new taxing powers to enforce this. That's a clear in distinction you will see momentarily. The 16th Amendment, of course, is well known. Here's Wikipedia says it allows Congress to levy income tax without apportioning it among the states on the basis of population, right? to levy income tax without apportioning it among the states on the basis of population. This is what the government, the IRS, claim what the 16th Amendment did. And guess what? They're lying to you. I'll show you. Hang in there, my friend, for the truth. Okay? Look at the 13th Amendment of the United States that got rid of slavery. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Bobby knows the word their jurisdiction. It's important. This is talking about the multiple states of the Union, not the singular government of the United States of Washington, D.C., which would be subject to its jurisdiction. Now, look at this. Section 2, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Huh. Well, great. They have the power to enforce it. But look at this. 16th Amendment does not have such a clause. But 13th Amendment does. How about the 14th Amendment? 14th Amendment is all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside, right? That's the key part, but there's more to it. But if you go down to the end of the 14th Amendment, folks, after all the stuff that it's about, multiple things are covered in there, but look at the ending. Section 5 says that the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. Why? Because 13th and 14th Amendment both gave new powers to Congress of the United States. 16th Amendment did not do so. So therefore, it doesn't have a clause giving Congress new taxing powers. And in the previous presentation I did, folks, you want to watch that one, folks. I give you this here, the short video about 16th Amendment and the long one. I cover in there how the 16th Amendment was ruled by U.S. Supreme Court, did not give any new taxing power to the federal government. It was all within the indirect tax category, which is a ridiculous thing by itself, but what the heck. It definitely did not change the direct taxing clauses of the U.S. Constitution. Okay. Now let's go to other amendments of the U.S. Constitution, like the 15th Amendment. Here we go. Again, you see the bottom section 2? The Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Same thing you will see in the 19th Amendment that gave women the right to vote. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Right? You see, again, the 16th Amendment does not have that language because it did not give Congress any new taxing power. See, 16th Amendment does not have that language there. Okay, now let's go to the 18th Amendment, which outlawed alcohol. And you see, again, has a section 2, the Congress and the several states shall have concurrent power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. In this case, the states and the federal government were given power to enforce this article because it did give a new power to Congress and the several states concurrently. Again, look at the 16th Amendment. Nope. It gave Congress no new taxing power, as you see here in this case, Stanton versus Baltimore Mining Company, that it did not give Congress any new taxing power whatsoever. Now, something else interesting you notice right now. The direct taxing clause restrictions, the direct taxes must be apportioned, divided up amongst the states. It's part of the Constitution still. It was never repealed. And the Supreme Court, in the Bushaber versus Union Pacific Railroad case, which I covered in a previous presentation on Sixth Amendment, and Stanton versus Baltic Mining Company, Peck versus Lowe, and other ones mentioned in there, clearly said it did not give Congress any new taxing power whatsoever, that in order for the government to tax directly the American people, the federal government, the parts of the Constitution that gave power, that restricted the government from having to do direct taxes by apportionment among the states, would have to be repealed. Because you cannot have one part of the Constitution says direct taxes must be apportioned, and then the other part says they don't have to be apportioned. It would be in conflict with each other. No, you cannot have the Constitution, the document, conflict itself. So that's what the Bushaber case clearly said. So here we are, folks. This is how it was done correctly with the alcohol prohibition by 18th Amendment, which prohibited alcohol in America. Later on came the 21st Amendment, and it properly and correctly said that the 18th article of amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. This is what needed to happen to direct taxing clauses of the U.S. Constitution. Those parts would have had to be repealed. Just like you see this language right here, right, that says representative and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers. This part should have been repealed for the federal government to be able to tax you directly without having to apportion it among the states first, the way you see it was done in the first and the following acts in the late 1700s and early 1800s, like you see here. Okay, so watch that old video as well, folks. Okay, so this is how it should be done. So it wasn't done. So you say, well, Paymon, I don't get it. If the tax on me is obviously a direct tax, they're coming after me directly. It's not like a toll bridge I can avoid, or import I can avoid, or don't have whiskey, avoid whiskey. I can't avoid it. It's on me directly, on my head, me. How did he impose this then? It's not indirect. And direct taxes must be apportioned among the states. Huh. How did they do it then? This is what many of my good friends, like Otto Skinner, Dave Champion, Pete Henningsen, Larry B. Craft, many other wonderful people, great authors in the movement, didn't go far enough to research and see what was done. There was a devious way they got around these limitations in the U.S. Constitution. Okay? And I'll show you how. This happened in because of the case of Downs versus Bidwell. Okay? This was a 1901 U.S. Supreme Court case. Let me give you a background what it's about first. In 1895 Spanish-American War, America, by war conquest, got many lands from Spain, Philippines, Guam, Puerto Rico mainly. So these became territories of the United States. And these people spoke Spanish, or like in Philippines, Tagalog. They were not American, white, European speaking English, whole different culture, no right to trial by jury. Those new lands and their people, who had a lot of people already within them, could not be easily, immediately incorporated into the Union like other states that spoke English, had a European, Western European culture. So what happened is that a tax was imposed between these U.S. territories by the federal government. And this tax was challenged in the U.S. Supreme Court eventually. And basically, folks, these territories were extension of Washington, D.C. And in Washington, D.C., folks, the federal government has complete plenary control. It was given the power in the Constitution so that the federal government would be immune from pressure of the states if it was located within New York or Pennsylvania or some other state that could push their thumb on the federal government. So within Washington, D.C., and any lands given by the states to the federal government or territories that have not become states yet, the federal government can do whatever it wants because it's not a state yet. Because America is not a country. It's 50 countries in the union. That's why the president every year gives the Congress a state of the union address. Not the state of the country address, state of the union. America's 50 states in the union, just like a European Union with Germany, France, Italy, and a few other countries in a union together. So what happened is Down versus Bidwell case, Supreme Court in summary, by the way, it's a very big, long, complicated case. It was a 5-4 majority. And there was 3 opinions that add up to the majority opinion. They're all a bunch of convoluted cockamamie. And the minority of 4 was solid together, but they were the minority 4. Here's what the Supreme Court said in Dallas versus Bidwell, okay? The decision narrowly held that the Constitution does not necessarily apply to the U.S. territories. Yes. Instead, Congress has jurisdiction to create law within territories in certain circumstances, particularly those dealing with revenue, which otherwise would not be allowed by the Constitution for the U.S. states. Aha! That's the key. Particularly dealing with revenue or taxes. Right? We have the Constitution does not apply to the U.S. territories. So those restrictions on the U.S. federal government taxing power that we read earlier do not apply to territories. Basically, the U.S. government can impose a tax if you take something from this side of Washington, D.C., 10 miles square, to the other side of Washington, D.C., they could do a tax. Or from Puerto Rico to Guam or Philippine Islands, which at that time was one from Spain to America. So when that decision was vehemently disagreed by the minority because they saw the evil coming, the loophole was created to impose taxes. It looked like they're imposed in the 50 states, but they're actually written for the U.S. territories or Washington, D.C., that the federal government has no restriction on raising revenue. That's what, as you see here now, again, what the Dallas versus Bidwell case said. The Constitution does not apply to the territories. Right? Okay. Particularly those dealing with revenue, which would not be allowed by the Constitution for the United States. Okay. Now, the minority was, it gave a dissenting opinion by Justice Marshall. Okay. Okay. Guess what? Here is what they said. This whole thing, you ought to read it for yourself sometime. It's fantastic, dissenting opinion, folks. But I'm just going to read a little bit of this, okay? It says that the idea prevails. The idea that, that's the idea, is the idea that the majority adopted. The majority adopted this idea that the minority condemns. Okay? That we have in this country substantially two national governments. What? Two national governments. Yes, folks. One to be maintained under the Constitution, right? With all its restrictions, like restrictions on taxing powers of the federal government, right? The other to be maintained by Congress outside and independently of that instrument, the U.S. Constitution, by exercising such powers as other nations of earth are accustomed to, which is tyrannical, total power within those territories. That is what they said the majority, the federal government can do. We have two national governments practically, okay? And the minority warned that in that event, okay, we will in that event pass from the area of constitutional liberty guarded and protected by a written constitution into an area of legislative absolutism, which means the legislative Congress can do whatever it wants. Taxes can relate directly without it being apportionment within Washington, D.C. and Washington, D.C.'s territories, right? Not the states, because states are sovereign countries like France, Germany, and Italy, right? And they did not give that power to the federal government to come within the states and tax them directly, except with apportionment, right? Let's continue. The court warns later on, it will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside the supreme law of the land finds lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence. And guess what? Yes, that evil day for American liberty has happened to American taxation system since 1913. Okay, now. Let's, another Supreme Court case talks about United States, sometimes mean the several states, right, combined. Sometimes it means the union of the states as a whole. Sometimes it means only Washington, D.C. and territories that the federal government has total power and jurisdiction. That was in the case of, again, Hooven and Allison Company versus Abbott, 1945. Which we go down and read that at Library of Congress, we see this language. The term United States may be used in any one of the several senses, right? It may be merely the name of a sovereign occupying the position analogous to that of other sovereigns in the family of nations. The 50 states that combine, basically. But the second one is what they use in income tax laws. It may designate the territory over which the sovereignty of the United States extends. Here we go. Yep, that's the second one. See, that is the United States that the Internal Revenue talks about. The Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws. Here's my, one of my copies I have. Don't publish them anymore on paper, by the way. Okay? This is the entire federal tax laws. Income tax for America are right in here, okay? Let's go look it up online right now. We look up online, okay? We're going to go to the official source of the law, Office of the Law Revision Council, United States Code, from U.S. House of Representatives. You see the seal on the top left of the page, okay? This is published by the U.S. government, Congress. So we all can follow the law correctly, including the IRS, right? So to look up laws, all you got to do, folks, is like me, type in 26 space USC, which means category 26 of federal laws, United States code is abbreviated, USC, space, and then put the code section, like I want section 7701 in this case, and then spacehouse.gov will give you the official version from the House of Representatives. And here it is for me down here. There it is, answer here. I'm going to open it up in a new tab. And just like me, you can reproduce, folks. Just like me, you can do this on your own personal computer or smartphone. Try it. So here we got from Title 26 Internal Revenue Code, we got Chapter 79 definitions. Very key definitions. And as we go down, look at Section 701. It says, when used in this title, what title? Title 26, the Internal Revenue Code. And they define all kind of different terms, you know, person, all kind of stuff that you don't think they need defining at all because they seem pretty obvious. But look, they define pages and pages of different terms, including United States and state. Look at the term United States, when it says when used in a geographical sense, because that's what we are looking for, it includes only the states and the District of Columbia. Why do they bother mentioning the District of Columbia but not name the continental United States or the 50 states? Because again, the term state also is, it says it shall be construed to include, again, the District of Columbia, right? Well, where are the 50 states in here, right? Because United States in means basically the District of Columbia plus, again, the District of Columbia. So it means the District of Columbia. This is the United States. The Downs versus Bidwell case talked about that laid the law within U.S. territories. In fact, I'm going to show you, look at this, folks, way back in 1913. I'm sorry, here we go. I'll show you later on here. Where is this one? One of our videos that we have. Okay, oh, by the way, here it is. Look at this, by the way. In many different tax laws, Section 6103, they mention a term, 50 states. It's right here. And the District of Columbia in a definition of the word state. These definitions are very important and critical. Okay? So I'm going to go now take you to our website to further show a little bit more videos. If you want to see, because I cannot put it all in here. I'm going to refer to these other videos to clarify this thing. Because you're thinking, oh, Paymon, states obviously mean the 50 states. It's clearly implied. Wrong. Don't believe me. Just watch these videos, and this is how you get to it, okay? Go to our front page of Freedom Law School. Okay, by the way, we already got one strike by YouTube, okay, because we talked about, you know, the election stuff. So you want to, folks, get on our email list so you'll be in touch with us, okay, before they cut us off on high tech. And to do that, go to the front page of our website, and here at the bottom part, sign up to get your free Freedom Education Package mailed and emailed to you. You receive a bunch of free material by email and mail. And to get started, on the right side, fill out the information here. And at the bottom, click on the gold button, yes. I want free Freedom Education. And then we'll be in touch from there together. Now, at the front page, to get to our YouTube channel, go to the Freedom Hour at the top. Click on the Freedom Hour. And that gets you to our Freedom Hour page. Here, click on our YouTube link right here. You see in the blue. Click on that, and that takes you to our YouTube channel. From there, folks, you want to go to our playlist on the top center playlist, and it takes you again to our playlist page. And the ones you want to see are all here. These playlists put the best of the best of Freedom Law School that you want to see in an organized, make sense way for you. So use these playlists to educate yourself. So the ones you want to look, folks, is here, the one that says that, where is that? Here we go, the second to last. Most Americans do not owe income taxes, short videos, okay? So you click on this list, and when you do that, it takes you right here to not only this first video, which is also on the front page of our website. You can see also that video on the front page of our website right here. You can get to that video this way as well, okay? However, on the right side, you see a playlist of other short videos about 5-6 minutes each. And then most of these videos link to longer videos. Here's one that's called More Proof That United States of Income Tax Law Only Includes Washington, D.C. Here's a short video on that topic. Here's a very important one. Yes, you definitely want to look up this one. Look at the screen here. Okay, since 1913, the U.S. federal income tax law never applied to the 50 states of the Union. This is a short video. And you see it right here in this 1913 Act is right here in front of you that the term states of the United States at that time, look at that. It meant Alaska, District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the Philippine Islands. Yes. Later on, they took out all these lands and became only Washington, D.C. Watch that short video, and they will take you these short videos to longer videos in more detail as well. If you go to our playlist on the here, see it. Most Americans do not owe income taxes, full videos. So open that list, and when you do, it takes you right here. Who is required to file IRS 1040 forms and pay U.S. income taxes full 54 minutes? This is longer. This is where your questions are answered in more complete detail. The short ones will give you a great overview and do the job 98%, but the details you want to know is in the long videos that will finish the job for you. Okay, so watch the short ones videos and then the long ones for more detailed full understanding. Okay, so that is what you want to do, folks, to get clarity on this issue. And remember, go to the front page of my website, folks, and start right there on the front page. This short video there will take you there. The front page of our website, folks, has many of the key stuff you want and need to know right there for you to link to for more education, understanding, and support. Also, you have an opportunity to refer people to Freedom Law School and get paid when you help them free themselves or income tax slavery. Okay, lawfully and safely by referring them to Freedom Law School. So with that, folks, remember our website, livefreenow.org, and our videos and our website are full of information to help you be free. Now, let me ask you one more thing. You owe it to yourself to continue on this journey to freedom. The journey of 1,000 steps begins with the first step. You have taken the first steps by watching this presentation. Continue. Continue on our website, folks, and you will be free. You will free yourself. Freedom Law School is only a tool, your assistance, your support, to educate you, but really, you are the one that has to make a decision to free yourselves, my friend. So do that. At the same time, folks, give other people, Americans, your family, friends, and coworkers, people in your community, on your social media, on your Facebook page, everywhere, give them the opportunity to free themselves of the deception of the income tax, of the slavery and robbery of income tax, by giving them this information. This is your First Amendment guaranteed right, just like I'm doing, to share this information with other freedom lovers, seekers in America, to help them be free and to put a stop to this criminality of the deep state government renegades in the IRS management, in the U.S. Department of Injustice management, and many corrupt federal judges who are combined together to protect and preserve this fraudulent, deceptive system of slavery to promote socialism and communism in America to reduce you lower. Okay, so don't let that happen to you. It already happened. Okay, you can stop it and take the chains of slavery off. It's really easy. It's not as hard as you think. You know, you're uncomfortable saying, ooh, I fought for decades. Ooh, I'm going to stop being a slave? Ooh, I'm not sure. I've done this for decades. Well, maybe. So stop. Just take the chains of slavery off. The tools are there for you at our website at livefreenow.org, folks. Here it is again. Go back to our screen. Here they are, folks. Start your process on Education Materials tab, Income Tax Freedom, folks. And I hope that we can get rid of, together, of this fraud on the American people and have America be a free country once again, like it was meant to be, and we shall make it again. Okay, let's go to your questions, my friend. Thank you for your support, guys. How long was my presentation? Okay. Let's see. Do you have any questions? Let's put the call-in number, folks. By the way, some of you asked questions by email. So we put it out. I'm going to answer Brenda's question and Georgette in just a little bit. But we have a caller right now from area code 505, area code. So we go to that person's question from area code 505. And all of you, to protect your privacy, only give me your first name. And then tell me, how did you hear about Freedom Law School? And then your question, please. The caller from area code 505. What's your first name?
Excuse the name, Andrew. Can you hear me?
I cannot hear him, guys.
Hello?
Sorry, guys. We have a technical issue. I do not hear him through my ear pods. The call from area code 505. Okay,
can
so let me see my... Oh, I can hear him now. I can hear him now. Okay, let's try again. What is your first name? Andrew.
I'll use the name Andrew. Yeah, and I heard about it through Seth Pollack, who's I live with here in Honolulu. Shouldn't say that, but he has raved about you and grateful for your work.
Thank you, Seth. Yes,
I have some
question, Andrew.
Yeah, well, I sent it in. Do you have it there in front of you? I hope.
I don't. Oh, here we go. Oh, wow. You sent me a thick file. Okay, this is how long it is.
Just, just the first four pages are relevant. I couldn't separate them from the other 44, so I wrote that into what I sent.
First four pages, up to 10 pages, I'll review for free on the Freedom Hour. Over that, you need to do a private one-on-one paid consultation. So, okay, you have here, you have a capital gain and loss. Okay, I see that. Okay, this is a 2019 1040 income tax confession form that you filed. Okay, the tax was computed, and about $22,000 that you owe the IRS, about $23,000. Okay, that's over 10%. It was capital gains. And then on page three, I see again some more calculations. Okay, so and then on page four, what I see on here, you have you have a state income tax also. Okay, I see that. And the state, ouch, the state that you are taxes a lot. It's almost 9,000. Wow, you used to pay as much in Rhode Island as you pay the federal government. Whoa, no wonder these northeastern states are so communist. Okay, I looked through the first four pages, Andrew. What is your question?
Okay, so I had not paid taxes because I didn't believe in this, and I know quite a bit about it, all the kind of stuff that you teach. But I thought, without understanding, I thought that capital gains from, the sale of a property that had long-term capital gains because the value of the property had accrued over many years against the initial cost of the property, that I would be safer to pay the tax. But Seth tells me, I know that you're saying that even the sale of from capital gains of a real estate property, that you don't need to pay tax on that. So here I filed the tax forms with a 33-year-old veteran of tax filing. He's a great guy, but he doesn't know anything about what you do. And now I hear from Seth that I don't need to pay this tax. I'm wondering if there's, they're fining me because I haven't paid since I filed last July. I haven't had any money. The California people came in and they emptied my bank account about a month ago. And then
how much?
I got them to put it back in. I only had like 500. They wanted the $6,000 or $7,000 there, but all I had was like $580 or something. And so they took all that, and then I talked with them, and they said, "Oh, you have hardship," which I do. They said, "Well, maybe we can set you up a payment plan of $130 a month." So I don't have to file that paperwork for about another 12 days, 10 days, or something. And I was wondering if you can help me back out of this, what I did here. I was educated to not file at all, because then once they have you under contract, having, put in these forms, then they've got you screwed, basically. I'm wondering if there's any way out of it, Paymon.
I'm afraid not. I wish I could give you one, but that's the problem with these confession forms. It's like you writing a piece of paper under oath to Seth and say, "Seth, are you $23,000? Right? And hey, you gave it under oath. Now, if Seth is a nice guy, which he is, he would say, "Well, yeah, you don't owe it to me, really. I'm a nice guy. I'm going to let you get out of it and take off your signature that you don't owe me anything." Right? But
right.
Seth is a nice guy. But the U.S. government is a criminal organization owned by the super banks, the corporation, and lobbyists, these power-hungry politicians, money system. They're not going to let you do that. They say, "Nope, you filed it. And if you try to do another document to zero that somehow, it may work. They may just penalize you some more." I'm afraid not. That's why the best thing to do when it comes to April 15th, this year, May 17th, is simply have a good day. Don't have to sign.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing.
Thank you, Pigment. Well, I'm glad to get that clarified. I thought I was getting, you know, I thought I was going to have some income coming in that I could pay them off and it wouldn't really matter. But I thought, you know, it's a capital gain. So you're saying that if I had to do it over again, even with a long-term capital gain, a piece of real estate property where I would otherwise be...
Let me stop you right there. It doesn't matter whether the income is from wages, salaries, commission, business income, stocks, bonds, investment, crypto, real estate, all that applies in Washington, D.C. Just like you could have all that income in Egypt or France or China. You don't pay any income tax on that stuff, you know. It's territorial. All that is territorial. Doesn't matter what kind of money you receive. It applies only, as you've seen in my other presentations, which you should watch in more detail again, only to citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and those who work or do some kind of function of federal public office, like soldiers and post office workers, and congressmen, judges, that's it. You're free, more than you realize, okay?
Well, that's great to hear. I'm glad to learn that for sure. I'm also a minister of a church that's been tax exempt since 1968, a 501A organization. May I ask you what your understanding is of that? Because ordinarily,
sure.
Well,
sure. Again, I want to give the answer to you right here. Look at this. Look, I'm going to answer for you right here. Is what you need to see. Remember the definitions, okay? What does it say? The Internal Revenue Code. Here it is. Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, right? Chapter 79, definitions are critical. Look at this. Okay, look at this, Seth. This is Internal Revenue Code. Okay, look at this, Andrew. Tissue paper thick.
Yep.
Paper. Tiny font. They define things to the most minute, detailed, specific, okay? They have many different definitions of these things. It's incredible to you, but it's true. Look, they say that when used in this title, what title? Right here, the Internal Revenue Code, the whole shebang. When used, United States does not mean or state the 50 states, okay? Okay, and so none of this applies to any individual or even corporations, okay, if they're not within Washington, D.C. United States means states and the District of Columbia, and state also means the District of Columbia. It's all Washington, D.C. You know, we've been brainwashed, lied to, deceived, and not realized they meant the different United States. And that's why the minority in the Dallas versus Bidwell case said, right, it will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside the supreme law of the land finds lodgment or a place in our constitutional jurisprudence. That's constitutional system of laws. But that's exactly what they've done when it comes to taxes. Why? Because Dallas versus Bidwell said that the Constitution does not apply to the territories, particularly in those dealing with revenue or taxes. None of this stuff applies whatsoever to you, for people of the 50 states, unless you perform functions of federal public office. So from here on,
ask
yourself. The past, you do it somehow. From now on, you're free.
Okay.
Okay.
I think because of the United States went bankrupt in 1871 or whatever it was, the U.S. became a corporation.
Look, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a list of all these theories you heard out in the freedom movement, which are baseless legal theories. I call them patriot mythologies. wonderful, fear-loving patriots out there all over the internet. They put all these basic theory, which I started with back in 1992, 29 years ago. I started also, just like you, before you heard about me, with this baseless stuff. Anything happening with Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, UC1-205, 305, sovereign, you know, citizen, not a U.S. citizen, only a national, name it all capital letters, straw man, redemption, expatriation, repatriation. I'm not in your yellowfin flag, Admiralty Maritime Jurisdiction or statutory court under, you know, common law court. Not using zip code on my mail. The buck half, revocation of power of attorney, you know, or I gave you notice to the principal, notice to agent, you know. Have you heard about any of these theories? Have you, Andrew?
I've heard. Yes, I have, here and there. I have over and over. I didn't, you know, hard to integrate them all together unless it was my main focus. But I filed in West Virginia to take back possession of my straw man. I got my actual authenticated birth certificate from Washington D.C. and blah blah blah. So I have that. I don't know. I mean,
I forgot to mention the straw man argument. Sorry. That's as useless as this piece of paper. Okay? There was no straw man for you to redeem. You know, you name it all capital letters that refers to supposedly dead corporate fictional entity, not you, or your treasury account money to access to. All that is garbage. Okay, look. I've been under criminal investigation by the IRS for over a quarter of a century. A quarter of a century since 1994. Mm-hmm. They know about
very
me.
Impressive.
And I'm not in prison. Yep. How come? But these other guys that you hear all these theories, they're around back in 1990s. I remember them in 2000 years. And now they go to jail. They get messed up in trouble. Okay, so don't fall for patron mythology. In fact, I tell you what, you want to see what patron mythologists do? I'll show you, my friend, okay? Here, go to our website. Here we go. Our homepage, go under, where's our blog guide? Oh, here we go, under education materials at the bottom, go to blog articles. When you go there, okay, here you see a lot of different articles I got on here. And one of them about is patron mythologies. Where is that here? Here we go. I got a lot of different articles about different stuff in here. And on page 2 or 3, I think it is. And you see how a lot of people have got in trouble with this stuff. Or maybe page 3. Or maybe it could be page 2. No, I think it's page 2. Here we go. How about OID process, right? Here we go. Yeah, that's one of them. The OID process, 1099 OID. If you've not heard about that, here it is. 1099 OID process. One is patron mythologies, right? And here, let's see. Here's another indictment. Here we go. People done this stuff, got indicted, going to prison. They've been charged criminally. Here's an indictment against this guy. Do a bunch of this patron mythology nonsense. Leslie Robert McLaren. Look at all the counts. They charge him tons of stuff. They got violated by doing all this garbage, straw man, and other baseless legal theories out there. You want to see another one? There's other guy. OID, patron mythology like straw man. You heard about another indictment. Here we go. Here we go. This is Ronald Bricky and a bunch of other people. Okay? They done it with a bunch of stuff in there. And another one I got for you. You want to see more? Yeah, I'll take you back to the previous page.
No,
should
I got you. Payment. Okay. I grok you. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, my friend?
I never went down that alleyway because a dead end alley because I just felt like, you know, nobody I knew had actually succeeded with any of that, so I just didn't go there.
All right, well, look at this. This is my favorite one. Look at this guy. A good man, willing to the man. Okay, sovereign citizen Bruce Doucette sentenced to 38 years. The man believed he was sovereign. That's a life sentence to death.
That's
He's already over 50 years old because he falls for this baseless straw man, other stuff you see on the internet out there, my friend. Any other questions before we go to the next people? Do you have any more questions, Andrew?
Well, I mean, I have to fill out forms to ask for hardship consideration. Otherwise, I have to pay higher fines. So I guess now that I'm in the system, which I'd avoided for decades, I have to tell them everything honestly. Otherwise, I could get, if I don't report all my income, I'm going to be screwed, right?
Hold on. How much did you make last year in 2020, roughly?
As you can see in the paperwork there, I guess it's page 3, the Arizona. I'm not the actual technical owner of the property, but I do, as the sole signatory, receive the $2,000 a month income. Of course, I have to pay taxes, local and state local taxes. And but I, because of depreciation, I don't have to pay any taxes in the state or federal system. You'll see that. I think it's
okay,
page 3.
Well, hold on. I got to hold on. Answer my question because I'm trying to help you. So please stay with what I'm trying to help you with. You're making about $2,000 a month minus all the stuff. So basically, if you fill out the IRS form 433A, okay, 433-A, they'll have you fill out. List all your income and assets. If you got nothing, no assets, okay, only got $2,000 a month, they're going to list you as uncollectible and leave you alone. Okay? So that's what you want to do, in my opinion. For you can do it right now, tomorrow, and that'd be fine. And they'll leave you alone for 1 or 2 years at least before they even come look at you again. Meanwhile, go out there, try to make some money. Hey, what you can do if you want, you can go to Freedom Moscow's website and tell people about, like Seth telling you, tell people about Freedom Law School, right? And you can hear with the Freedom Opportunity Program, make $4,500 cash, tax-free, right? All you gotta do is to expose other people to the truth. This is your Freedom Opportunity to share your love of truth and get paid for it. Now you've got yourself a fun job. Folks, you can get in front of the supermarket and pass out our flyers. Okay? Okay? There is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. Okay? Just have fun in front of your favorite supermarket. The upscale ones are better. Okay? Generally speaking. And have fun. Okay?
I'm always after all my friends to do everything, you know, that would liberate them. So I would love to help do that. If you could, you have my email address. Can you have somebody send me those, or I can get them off your website or something?
Off our website, I show you. On our website, under education materials, okay? Let's see now, tab I go to get that, guys? Let's see. I think it, which is the why we don't need income tax, right, guys? Which page do I have the flyer? They're both in there? Okay. How much are you giving to the IRS? Okay. Click on that page. How much are you giving the IRS? Open that tab. Okay. And when you go there, here it is. Okay. It talks about how much people are paying the IRS. By the way, we have that flyer also, this one right here. How much are you giving to It's Really Satan? Okay. Two-page satisfier also. So you can download them both
on
the page. And... here it is. You see the flyer, this one. Now the other one, this is how much are you in the IRS. And here's the one I just showed you, okay? That there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file income tax. Is PDF of it is right here in this paragraph below right here. Okay? Click on that and have fun getting, you know, becoming prosperous. Why help others? Give them a chance to be free.
Well, Payman, before I let you go there, about you're saying that in the papers I have to fill in to claim hardship. If I fill out a 43-A, because
433-A,
because I don't pay any income tax from that $2,000 a month, that I don't have to declare that as an asset? Is that what you're saying?
That's income. That's what you receive. That's what's coming into you. Okay? When you call the IRS 800 number, tell them to make a payment plan, they'll give you that form. Don't worry about it. It's an income, not an asset. Asset like you own a home. Your monthly income is not an asset. It's monthly income. There's a difference there.
I mean, they might look right through the fact that I set up this small private non-interest-bearing trust that the home in Sedona, and they'd say, well, you know, that's just a ruse. It's actually you're the owner, they'd screw me.
Hold on. Look, now you're getting too complex. For that, I would need to do a private, detailed, one-on-one consultation. To that home situation, what you got set up, who is the trust, is the LLC, who is the manager, trustee, beneficiary, all kind of questions I'm going to ask you to figure that out. So you had more than a little simple situation, which I hoped, I thought you had. So that's what you need to do. Send for a one-on-one private consultation so I can get into the details of your case that it's going to take a little time. I don't like to speed up and talk fast. I want to help as many people as possible. That's why I talk fast sometimes. But I want to help you, and I want to take my time to do it right, slowly, and carefully. On our website, on the front page, you see the Get Help Quick link. So open that link on Get Help Quick, and you see right there on how you can get a one-on-one private consultation with me. Follow that. Any further questions, give us a call. Freedom Law School at 813-444-4800. Okay? And we'll be happy to guide you more about all this stuff also. Okay?
Well, I don't think I can afford that. I'm like totally like scraping the bottom of the barrel basically here. Is that at cost, I imagine? Yeah, it's $600 per hour.
I charge $600 for the first hour, $300 for second hour. $300 for the first hour only. After that, $600 an hour. I'm a very busy guy. But you got a trust, you got a house. You got something going on there. If you want to, it's up to you. I don't have to do it. Hold on. It's like saying dentist, doctor, I need your help to fix my tooth, my sickness, but I can't pay you anything at all, even for one visit. So, okay, you don't have to. You don't have to visit with me. I'm just telling you, it will require a visit so I can examine you, just like a dentist examines your teeth, a doctor your situation, because you're not just a simple guy. You got this house situation, other stuff that's more complex. I've tried to help you right now for the last, 10, 15 minutes at no charge. But it got, you know, more complex as we talk about it more. So if you want to get my help, that's how I can help you out. There are other people you're welcome to look for that might be able to help you, and you're welcome to look for someone out there as well. Okay?
I would be happy to pay you, but I'm so leveraged out with credit card debt and everything. I've barely survived this long. Living with on almost nothing, because all that $2,000 every month has to go out to all kinds of credit card debt and you know, stuff that because the income that I've been counting on hasn't come in. So I'm just totally strapped.
What you could do is this. Let me suggest this. You pay one of your credit cards, make a small payment to it, and only send me $150 for half hour, 30 minutes. But I got to spend some time with you slowly. Listen to you. Mm-hmm. I got other people who have questions. I got to go. Okay.
Let me let you go. Yeah. Well, I might be able to get $150 out to you for that half hour.
Okay. And get all your paperwork to us as soon as you can. Have someone else talk to you at my office at no extra charge to help you get everything together before I get on the phone with you, so that half hour with me would be most productive for you, my friend. Okay. So you can, my office will help you get everything together at no charge. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Paimon.
You are most welcome. My pleasure. We have a call from area. What area code, guys? 636. Call from area code 636. What is your first day, my friend? And how did you hear about Peter Moscow?
Hi, my name is Mike.
And how did you hear about Peter Moscow, Mike?
Oh, I heard about you guys from a friend of mine in Texas. His name is actually Mike also. And he turned me on to you guys. He turned me on to the whole idea that the federal income tax is completely voluntary. And so it was kind of a matrix red pill, blue pill moment. And he's like, do you really want to know? And I said, yeah, I sure do. And anyway, I've been absolutely captivated by your information and captivated by your videos and this completely fraudulent system that everybody blindly follows. And I'm amazed and I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for the work that you do. It truly is a blessing not only to me, but many other people. So thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Yes, Mike. What else is on your mind? Bob, how old are you, Mike?
I am 31.
Yeah, you sounded young. Very good. I'm very glad to see young people like you get into this, because as opposed to a last caller who sounded older, you have decades of freedom in your life coming. So I'm so glad, younger people. And I want to invite you, Mike, you young people, share with other young people, give them the opportunity, and with our Freedom Opportunity Plan, get paid up to $4,500 cash for every human being in America that you can help free. So with that, my friend, what is on your mind, Mike?
So kind of two things. So I have, this was about 5 years ago, I learned about the whole, that the federal income tax is a voluntary system. And the guy who was educating me at that time, who I hadn't found you quite at that, I stopped paying my voluntary federal income tax at that point. And even after my second child, we have 5 children now. Currently, after my second one, we did not assign any more Social Security numbers also. And
great.
My one big question I have specifically about the Social Security numbers is I have a Social Security number, and I recently got my insurance producer's license. And in my state, they require, in order to get a license, you have to register with your Social Security number. And because I'm always planning and looking forward in the future, I'm thinking, how would my child go about doing this? How would my child go about... And I asked them every which different direction. I said, if I didn't have a number, would I be able to get a license? And they said, no. They said, you have to have a number. And I don't know if that was just the person who I was talking with, or if they actually know all the details. But I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm thinking, the Social Security number has been so ingrained in our society. Will there be just factual things that my children will not be a job, that they will not be able to hold, participate in? Because this is my career now, this is a portion of it. And if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be able to work for my company and provide for my family. So I guess all this to say is, obviously, having a slave number is not something that we want. But is that mandatory for some of these things?
No. The problem is that you don't know how to go about doing those things, okay? So, for example, your children can have U.S. passports without a slave surveillance number. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all they got to do is fill out a paper. I never applied for one. I know people that got admitted to college and universities without a slave surveillance number. Now, certain mm-hmm. things like, and I know people that work for other people without a slave surveillance number. And one of the things that we plan to do is Freedom Law School. We just need more funding and support, and new members help us with that, to challenge the regulation that the U.S. Treasury wrote telling the banks to ignore your customers, that you must get their tax ID number or SS number. What if you don't have one? Okay. So, mm-hmm. no, you will be doing that. Okay. So, no, you did the right thing, my friend. It's just that it takes a lot of time to research this thing. Even someone like me, after 29 years, it still takes time. And I'm a busy guy trying to help a lot of people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you do the right thing. You stick with that. And I would suggest you consider that for someone like you, the Royal Freedom Package program is cheaper than someone older. Younger, as you know, it's a lot. It's cheaper, okay, to help you afford a program. So, and you sound like a pretty intelligent young man, a young father, I should say, with five children. So I would suggest that you look at that and call our office. I would love to hear from young people like you. Talk to one of my people. They'll also further assist you with some of the stuff, answer your questions also. Okay, because, you know, you deserve to be able to provide for your five children freedom, love, good nutrition, health, you know, as well as mm-hmm. not to be safe. And so we want to help you with that whole process. Call our office. We'll talk to you.
I did, and I absolutely love it. I have to say that I called your office once, and they not only talked with me a good while there, but they called me back. And I have nothing but praise for all of your support and staff there. I wish I remembered the names of everyone I talked with, but they were
That's
just
right.
extremely helpful and
thank you.
And friendly.
Yeah,
so thank you.
You. You're
last
welcome.
Last thing, if it's okay.
Yeah.
So about IRAs and investment accounts, mm-hmm. moving forward with this understanding and knowledge that you know, the veteran income tax is voluntary. Having an investment for retirement and for later on in life, what would you recommend would be the way to do it that either doesn't raise as much red flags, or how would you recommend going about this with this lifestyle?
You know, that's a very big question, you know? I wish I could give you a quick answer like that. Everybody likes to know that kind of stuff. Quick 2-minute answer, you know, but there's no quick answer. I mean, I was a financial planner mm-hmm. in my 20s. I studied economics and finance, got my degree in business from California State University. So I know a lot about money investments, real estate, stocks, bonds, but there's no quick thing I can tell you. The quickest thing I can tell you short is crypto is the money of the future. So buy cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. Bitcoin, Ethereum. I'm not a specialty in those things. I like those two. They always go up, those two, the two dominant cryptocurrencies. Some other ones may end up being better. I don't know enough. And then real estate, it's still a good time to get into real estate, but you get out before the top. You know, in 2008, we had a crash, and the market went down the bottom of 2012, slowly came up, but there's a lot of inflation coming up. So you know, the market's still going to go up a lot higher, the housing market. So buy a house, your primary residence. That's a short answer I can give you without doing a whole presentation or class, just on a topic which I could do. Hope that
okay.
helps you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mike. Okay. Any other questions,
Thanks.
Guys?
Take care.
You're welcome. Take care, my friend.
Bye.
Another caller from area code 602. What is your first name, and how did you hear about Freedom Law School? Are you there? Call off America 602. Yes, your first name.
Elliot.
And Elliot. How did you hear about Peter Moscow, Elliot?
Well, I've been following you for approximately 7 to 10 years, in and out.
Great. And how may I help you?
I'm looking into you talk about a case that Downess versus Bdwell.
And you mean the case of, here it is, Downs versus Bidwell, you see on the screen. Yes, what about that case?
Okay. It's in reference to when you mentioned the decision narrowly held that the Constitution does not necessarily apply to the territories.
Yes.
I'm from one of those territories. And I'm
where
trying
do you
to
live?
See how...
where do you live?
Puerto Rico.
Well, get out. Oh, Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico has its own Puerto Rico tax for its citizens. So you don't, it doesn't have the, you don't owe the federal income tax, but Puerto Rico has its own tax, which I'm not an expert at that, by the way. But, you know, I would suggest you may want to leave to come out of the 50 states like Florida.
Okay. So thank you for the invitation. The next thing is that if we don't do federal taxes, but some other friends or family, they do have federal jobs, but the wife doesn't have federal job. She just work and she's worked a different job altogether. Nothing to do with a DC or nothing like that. How would that affect that couple?
Well, she can file and you not file. That's your separate human beings. You can do that. That's up to you and her.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions?
No, that's basically all. One of the questions when I was following you in this, I go like, that territory in that spark on me in reference to that.
Well, right now, the federal income tax does not apply to Puerto Rico either. Puerto Rico has its own territorial tax, I understand.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
All right, I do appreciate you taking the time, and thank you for the very good information. I did call you your associates there, or your friends, the people you work with are there, and I got one of those flyers, and I did have some of them have given away some people too, because I want them to understand what's going on, because they do have many, many family members on the states, in different, I call it the franchise states.
Very good, very good. All right, Elliot, it was great to hear from you, my friend. Tell your family and friends about us. I hope to see you soon.
I will continue doing that.
Yeah. Just for your information, everybody, folks, Florida is the one of the 8 states with no state income tax. It has overall the lowest tax of all the 50 states, overall, and overall the freest states. It's one of the first states to get rid of the corona hoax, masks, and mask and social distancing requirements. You know, so if you're a freedom lover, come to Florida, but not to Miami. No. Come to Central Florida between Tampa, Orlando, Cali area. That's where you want to be, where you're affordable, open spaces. Countryside is where America needs to be. Thomas Jefferson believed and said, as long as you have open land, and a lot of people live in the rural lands, not the cities, America will be free. The freedom lovers, get out of the socialist cities that Thomas Jefferson warned us to get out. Peter's advice, leave those dense cities, go to a less dense countryside or country suburbs if you can. All right?
All right. What other state other than Florida would be to take in consideration?
What state? Well, If you like cold weather, South Dakota would be a good one. If you like snow, South Dakota has no state income tax and is a very free state also, second to Florida.
South Dakota too, okay.
By the way, which reminds me, okay, you guys, Red Pill Expo, I forgot to mention that. I'll be speaking at the Red Pill Expo coming up. You see it on my screen. Here it is. June 5th and 6th at the Rapid City, South Dakota. And this is Ed Griffin's event. Been going on for 5 years by Mount Rushmore. Here's Ed Griffin, the host. And a lot of great speakers. We'll be the top health, freedom, red pill kind of people. Talking about different areas that you really want and need to know are going to be there. I'll be speaking there as well. So you want to come, folks. Plan to be there for the whole weekend. Meet a bunch of other fellow freedom seekers like yourself, folks. So, yeah, definitely you want to be the Red Pill Expo at redpillexpo.org is the website. We have another call for you, 701. Okay. Well, hold on. I'm going to take a short break, folks. I'll be back in about 2 minutes, okay? Let's put everybody on hold. I'll be back shortly within 2 minutes, guys. Okay, call from area code 701. Give me your first name, then tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hey, Paymon, my name is Adam. I heard about Freedom Law School. Let's see. Well, you know, I don't remember how I stumbled across you guys, but it's been a few years. I've been listening to your stuff, and I intend on becoming a Royal Freedom Package member here shortly, but I haven't yet called in, and I've been talking with Benny and some other people there, and been getting some good information and helping get my wife educated on board with taking the steps to become more free. And my question for you today is, I'm curious about your experience investing in real estate or getting loans to purchase a house or real estate, and the different ways that you know about doing that. Because my understanding is that if we take these steps, we're probably not going to be able to take advantage of very low interest government backed bank loans, because they generally want to see tax returns. And just curious your experience and your knowledge about that subject, and ways that maybe you've gone about doing that, and ways that you know about doing that that could help educate me on the subject.
Well, I've done a whole course on that subject, which I'll show you about. Yes. If you go under at livefreenow.org under all courses and packages, in that page, okay. Once you go there, you find many other courses. And here's coming up right now. Okay, the one on that topic you're looking for is called How to Buy a Home with No Tax Return, SSN, No Credit, No Bank Loan Now. So in this course, I spent several hours explaining the process of how you can buy a home without a tax return, SS number, credit, bank loan. You could be out of jail, bankrupt, and still do it. Okay. This is, you know, this course is available for $200. That goes over that in more detail. You could take over people's home loans sometimes. That's one way to do it. Also, you can without a tax return with a little bit higher rate. And so 4-5%, you might pay, let's say 5-6%. They want bank deposits instead. Okay. So that you could do it that way. Also, since you don't pay income tax, you're saving all this money in not paying income tax, tens of thousands or more. Well, you just got to put more down payment instead of maybe 10-20%, put 25 or 30% down, and then pay a little bit higher interest rate, 7-11%. You know, but then again, that's how they try to keep you in the system. They give you little benefits, little crumbs, you know, to keep you in,
right,
as a slave,
right,
and all this money. So you might have to give a few crumbs here or there or pay a little bit more, but it'd be well worth it to be, you know, for your, in your lifetime, be free of not having to pay millions of taxes that you do not owe.
Know that you created that course, and I guess my other question now would be, if I sign up for the Royal Freedom Package, are these other courses included in that? Like, can I get access to the information about there, or is that, do I have to pay for that separately?
It's a little extra separate course. I have a lot of other courses. Here's what I did, just so you know. Back in 1990s, Adam, I used to do courses only. I only taught you. It was in 2001, people, because they wanted and insisted that I do it for them, I start actually doing it and then educate people also. And then I used to include more courses in our Freedom Packages. And then I found that many people do not, you know, really take the time to listen and watch and learn this stuff. So I thought, well, why am I charging people for something that I'm going to use? I like to make things as low cost as possible to allow more people to actually get it. So I made these other courses extra for those people like you that may be interested. And, you know, I make them still very affordable, a couple hundred dollars extra for this course, for example.
For sure.
Do that. How old are you, by the way, Adam?
I am 32 years old.
Another young one. Okay. So that the first year, right now, instead of $9,000 for you is only $4,000, for example. Whereas someone 35 or more has to pay that. So, okay. Hope that helps you with that question. Yes. What else
does
do that?
Yeah. Let's see. I thought it was funny that you just mentioned Ocala. My wife is from Ocala, and she's actually down there right now, and I was down there for a couple weeks. We live in Montana right now, but we're thinking about moving to Florida, and I just thought it was funny you just mentioned Ocala right when we were just got back from there. Anyhow, do you live in Florida?
Yes, about 45 minutes south of Ocala.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful area there. Maybe I'll see you at the Red Pill Expo, and thanks for your time and for everything you've done. You guys are my heroes. And I didn't know about a way to be able to do this legally and safely. And shining light on that path is an awesome thing. And so I just want to thank you.
You're most welcome, my friend. My pleasure. And bring people to Red Pill Expo, folks. Okay. Yes, you are actually very close to Red Pill Expo, so I'll definitely see you there, my friend. Yes.
Okay.
Excellent, Adam.
All right.
Anybody else with a question, guys? You're welcome. My pleasure to meet you on the phone. That's it for callers. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to do a short video on this topic. And what I do, folks, as many of you regular callers know, I do a short video about these things because everybody's so busy, they don't listen to long videos. They don't watch them. So what I have to do is to put short videos, maybe 5 to 10 minutes, that hopefully people will take the time to watch it. And then with the shorter video, like something short, then they can watch a longer video. So give me a few minutes, folks. I'm going to have to get rid of some of this stuff. Yes?
After we do the summary video, will you be going over those questions that were emailed in?
Oh, sorry. Thanks for reminding me. I apologize. Emailed questions. I got two people, Brenda and Georgette. Hope you guys are there. Let me answer those questions first. Brenda asked, I have a question regarding federal tax withholding. This tax is taken from my paycheck yearly from my paychecks. When I received my retirement from a company that I had worked for 15 years, the total gross payment received minus federal tax withholding also was deducted from that. How can that be? It appears to me that I was taxed twice. If I claim sixth dependents on my paycheck and do a file an income tax, how will that affect my retirement from Social Security when I retire. I am an empty nester, thanks. Okay. This is a classic reason why, folks, you want to call. Because questions in writing offered are not very clear or full or are confusing and leave different options open as to what's going on. The first half of this questionnaire, I'm not sure what she's exactly talking about. Okay? The total gross payment received minus federal tax withholding was also deducted from that. I don't know what you mean by that. So that's why calling is good, because then I can ask you for clarification questions and help you for free like I want to and you want me to on the Freedom Hour. Okay, so I need to see your paperwork, perhaps, to give you a better answer. I need to look at this paperwork. Okay, now, she says how her Social Security would get affected if I claim six dependents. Okay, yet Brenda says she's an empty nester. Why would you want to play the system to begin with, number one? Number two, Brenda, why would you want to commit tax evasion? Claiming you have six dependents when you have no children at home, you say you're an empty nester. That doesn't make any sense to me why. Now, your Social Security taxes are not affected, by the way, in any way by how many number of dependents you may or you may not have. It doesn't affect it at all. Okay. And what you get out of Social Security has nothing to do with what you put in the system. They go on the how much the last 2 years you paid. Based upon that, they determine that. Even if you never paid anything in the Social Security system, you still get some money from Social Security. I hear it's about $1,000 no matter what. Now, if you made and paid a lot more at tops, they pay you, I think, around $3,000, I understand. So your Social Security is not affected by any and all of this. I hope that was helpful to you because I could not help you with your first part of your question, okay? That you were taxed twice. I don't see how. Let's go now to a question by Georgette, who asks, I have a Wyoming Limited Liability Company, LLC, for 2 years that has not made any money and I have not filed a 1040 at all since I owned it. Okay. I will be getting a sizable return on an investment that will be deposited into this LLC bank account this year. Since I have never filed a tax return for this LLC, it seems to me to ignore filing a tax return going forward would be optimal. What do you think? What are the likely consequences? I agree. Okay, consequences? If I get in my car tomorrow morning, drive to a store, one of my consequences includes death in a car accident. There's no guarantee. Okay, so anything is possible, okay? That's a very broad question. I cannot answer that. You know, hopefully nothing. Probably nothing. Okay, will happen to you. I have thought of going offshore, getting residency in Panama, and depositing into a corporation or firm there like all the Congress people and senators do in Washington. They get a Panama corporation, but what is your opinion? Maybe buy crypto through that offshore corporation, but it does get complicated. I want a simple solution. You have one. Also, thought of buying a passport in St. Lucian Islands and buying crypto from there. Okay. So about going offshore and getting residency in Panama. Look, I know a lot of people look at that offshore option, and that's fine. It's okay. I don't knock it. You can try that if you want. But I've heard that over the course of a few years, majority of people that go offshore to Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Mexico, Thailand, any other third country for more freedom, they come back. They come back because you go to a country that English is not their first language, so you can only go to certain parts of the country safely where people speak English. You know, you don't go to those areas. You go only basically to the tourist areas. So you get tired of being kind of in those places and they come back, most of them. You may regret it, number one. Number two, this idea that you were told that, you know, Congress people, senators get Panama residency, it's a slick sales pitch by the people who want to sell you these citizenship in Panama and St. Lucia and Island, all these other places. They make good money doing that. Most Congress people do not do that. That's simply not so. Okay? Congressmen are people that were just popular. That's all it is. Don't read too much into it. If you were maybe rich, like the Kennedys did that stuff, yeah, sure. But not vast majority of them do not do it. Okay? Now, you want to get a Panama Corp? Why? It's not necessary. This offshore stuff is not necessary. You can live in the greatest country in the world. Okay? It has, America is the third largest country in the world, second biggest population, biggest economy, okay, and has 50 countries to choose from. And all these 50 countries come to Central Florida right here, Central Florida, to be free. You don't have to go offshore to be free. I was talking to so many people, they were told that offshore was the only way to go. Now, you have another option. It's called Central Florida. Hurricane free zone, by the way. Not Northwest, okay? Not the South, because hurricanes, Central Florida, okay? No state income tax, lowest state tax overall. Overall, most freedom. Go, and if you don't believe me, I'll show you. Go to this website. Okay, I'll put it on the screen for you. Type freedom. In the 50states.org. Freedom in the 50states.org. Cato Libertarian Institute. Here's a map of the freedom states in America. Okay, here we go. So it's all of them. Now, the terrible ones are like New York, number 50 at the bottom of freedom. Look at Hawaii, sadly, number 49. That's turned to a socialist state, that beautiful island. California, no surprise, number 48. Where's number one? Florida. Okay, overall. Here it is, Indiana, number 3. Colorado, number 4. Las Vegas, number 5. New Hampshire, number 2. These guys can go back and forth. So Florida. Let's click on Florida. Overall ranking of Florida has been free since 2014. Number one, okay. Now you go to on the click on fiscal on the top left instead of overall, and you see when it comes to fiscal or taxes, it has been number one since 2013. They have not updated, but it's the same way. So you see, this is where you want to be. You don't have to go out there to offshore. Florida, Central Florida, housing is very inexpensive. Florida is more has a lot of flat spaces, lots of rivers and lakes. Florida has more waterfront property than International Communist Republic of Mexicana, also known formerly as the Golden State of California. You have waterfront property on the beach, river, lake. Inexpensive housing is very low. Property tax are average rates, very low. You don't have to go out there. You can go wherever you want to go in the whole United States, whatever you feel like it, with a flight. And between Tampa and Orlando, you have, if you live in this area, you have two international airports close by. Where I'm in Brooksville, 50 minutes from Tampa, an hour and 20 minutes from Orlando International Airports. I'm in a country suburb on 7 acres land. You know, you don't have to go out there, third world country. Things are affordable out here. So I would suggest you look at Central Florida versus all this expensive Panamanian residency, all these island country passports. Why spend all these tens of thousands when you don't have to? Okay? So that helps you with that question. I hope, Georgette, you be free right here. Okay? By the way, something important you should know. If you believe and think that you, Georgette, are a U.S. citizen of the Internal Revenue Code, which means a citizen of Washington, D.C., guess what? It doesn't matter that you live in Panama or St. Lucia. According to the federal government and the Internal Revenue Code, if you are a U.S. citizen of Washington, D.C., you owe income tax. The key to be free of income tax is recognize and know that you are a U.S. citizen for nationality, immigration purposes, but for tax purposes, you are a citizen of the state where you live, Florida, Texas, wherever you happen to be, and you are already income tax free. So I hope that helps you with the question that he asked, Georgette. Any other questions, guys, we have? That's it. Okay. Well then, folks, I'm going to go do the short presentation right now. For those of you who wish to watch this short presentation, you're welcome to stay. For those of you who are busy and you got to go, that's fine. I understand that. Okay. Do what you got to do to take care of yourself and your life. Okay. I'm going to have to close a lot of these stuff. Then a full, long presentation I go over. Because this has got to be just a 5 to hopefully 7 minute short video that I can cover in a short time. That means I have to cut out a lot of stuff that normally I would go through. Let's make it short. Okay. 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 All right. I think I'm almost ready, guys. So I got to talk about this stuff that you guys saw, but hopefully I'll do a good job by saying in a very, very succinct Okay. Okay, I think I'm almost ready, guys. And give me the time thing, guys, okay? I'm going to grab this quickly. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, let's see. Yep. Let's do that. Hey, let me see. Let me close one more thing. I think, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, let's do that.
start the recording in 3, 2, 1.
How? Well, let me see. Let me get the name. Start again.
Okay.
Yep. How was the federal income tax imposed on the American people despite the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? I will show you exactly how in this short presentation. That will link you later at the end to the longer full presentation to answer that question for you in full. Before we go anywhere, let's go to our website at livefreenow.org, where is your source and solution for answers, livefreenow.org. And I want to mention to you that I did in the previous video, a video on this topic, part one, which is headlined, Did the 16th Amendment in 1913 permit the creation of the U.S. income tax system? There's a short video you should watch on that before you watch this video. Okay, there's a full video of that as well, as you see, more details. Let's go to the Constitution of the United States, which provides, when it comes to taxes, that no capitation or head tax or direct tax shall be laid on less in proportion to the census or enumeration that they got to be taken. Okay, capitation means head tax, every head, every man paying a direct tax. Also, the Constitution says that representative and direct taxes shall be apportioned, which means divided up among the several states, which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers. And you should sample one of these for direct taxes done right here. You see in this picture in 1798, the states are listed and how much is apportioned, allocated to the states for the income tax that they have to collect from their people. Now, let's go here to the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which allegedly allowed Congress to have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the states. That's the key, and without regard to any census or enumeration. What happened? Did that constitutional provision got repealed? No, that is not what happened. That even though out there everybody tells you, like Wikipedia, that 6th Amendment of the Constitution, okay, allowed Congress to levy or impose income tax without apportioning it among the states on the basis of population. Okay, first of all, the Supreme Court did rule, folks, as you see, like here. You know, in the cases, Supreme Court cases like Stanton versus Balti Mining Company, that 16th Amendment conferred no new power of taxation to Congress. And you see it here also in later on. If you look at, for example, here to 19th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which gave the woman the right to vote, right? Guess what? It gave also Congress the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation, because it did give Congress new powers. Whenever a constitutional amendment gave new powers to Congress, they have this language in there. 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment, okay? They all have this language. Also, as you see, in the 18th Amendment, which disallowed alcohol, prohibited alcohol, it has the same paragraph that, you know, Congress has the power to enforce this new power by appropriate legislation. But guess what? When they want to get rid of this in the 21st Amendment, they explicitly said the 18th Article Amendment of the Constitution is hereby repealed. They have to do that because guess what? Direct taxes are still must be done in proportion to census and enumeration, and direct taxes to the state still must be apportioned among the several states. That was not repealed by the 16th Amendment. So how did they do it? By this Supreme Court case in 1901 called Downs versus Bidwell in 1901. And the Supreme Court in this case said that the Constitution does not necessarily apply to the territories, especially, particularly, those dealing with revenue or taxes. So limitations on taxing power of the U.S. government do not apply to Washington, D.C. and territories of U.S. government. And you see, folks, when we go, that's why when we go online, look at the definition of the United States and state in the Internal Revenue Code. Guess what? The only list, District of Columbia, their 50 states are not listed, are not part of that. That might be hard to believe for you right now, but folks, this is what it says, Section 7701 of Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws, which is the one right here. This is it. In this book, the federal tax laws, that's what you're looking at right now on your computer screen. Now, to get more about this issue, to prove this to you, that 50 states are not in there on the front page of our website, livefreenow.org, click on this very first video on the front. When you watch this video, it also will link you to a short list of videos that you see right there on your right-hand side, these other videos you should watch beside this short video that shows up. The two most important ones are this one, more proof that United States of income tax laws only includes Washington, D.C., the short version, which links to the longer version, and the one in this short playlist that is titled, Since 1913. Has U.S. federal income tax law never applied to the 50 states of the union? The short video is here, which links to the longer one. Folks, watch these videos. The first one, you got to watch this one that we have before, the short and long version, and then these one, two, three videos, and you find out Congress does not have the power to tax you directly because you live in the 50 states. 50 states are not the United States defined in the Internal Revenue Code. They can only tax, as you see in these videos, citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and those who perform functions of federal public office, like congressmen, judges, federal bureaucrats, post office workers, and the military. Watch the videos for more, and you are right now on your journey to freedom, my friends. Continue in this path, and you will be free of our deception, robbery, and slavery forever. And please share this video with everybody you know out there to help them be free as well. How long was it?
Just under 8 minutes.
Just under where I wanted to be. 5 to 8. Okay. No more questions, folks. Put the call number on the screen. Anybody have any last questions? We'll give you one more chance. They can.
The block talk thing ended at 9, so 9 minutes ago.
Okay, we're done.
Yeah.
So we're not live at all?
No, we're still live. The block talk can't be called
anymore. Okay, all right. So
anybody
has any questions I should answer on YouTube, guys? No questions on there? All right, my friends, I love you and thank you for taking the steps to educate yourself and then our fellow Americans to have America be a free country once again. Do what you can by educating yourself. Because remember, at the end, it's not me freeing you. It is you. You have to take the decision. Make the decision. Take the red pill of truth. Go down the rabbit hole. On your freedom, I'll be there, Freedom Law School, to support you as well. Okay.